Genesis 50 is without question the most impressive funeral in all of history, the funeral of Jacob. It's the most majestic funeral in the entire Bible. Not only was this funeral acknowledged by society in general, but an impressive Egyptian military entourage literally took this body from Egypt to Canaan. Hebrews 11:22 says, "By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones." Joseph would eventually follow in the footsteps of, or funeral steps of, his father. He too wanted to be buried in Canaan. It's quite obvious that Jacob's final request and funeral made a profound impact on Joseph. The person who makes a profound impact on others and is honored forever by God is one that stays focused on the word of God and will of God until the moment of his or her death. Jacob's request to be buried in Canaan is a promised land request. This one funeral testifies to Joseph, to Israel, to the Egyptians, to the New Testament believer, and to the world that someday Israel will inherit a literal promised land. Jacob, because of his faith in the promises of God, actually becomes a major statement for God, even in his funeral. And this all testifies of a promised land, king, and kingdom, which Israel will one day have. Jacob reacts to his father's death. Look in verse 1 of chapter 50 of Genesis. "Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him." There's no doubt from this section the one who hurts the most at the death of Jacob was Joseph. Ironically, as the one who spent the least years with his father, but quite clearly he loved his father the most. When Jacob died, Joseph fell on his father's face, wept, and kissed him. And then Joseph commands the embalming of his father's body. Look at verses 2 and 3. "As Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, so the physicians embalmed Israel. 42 days were required for it, for that is how many are required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. Historical evidence reveals that the Egyptians were very skilled at embalming bodies, especially people of prominence. Mummies have been found that literally have been preserved for thousands of years, which indicates that the Egyptians were very skilled at this work. According to historians, burying the dead was big business in Egypt. Such things as embalming, coffin making, constructing and painting funeral furniture, plus many religious rituals, kept whole guilds forever busy. The pyramids were funeral monuments to various pharaohs. The actual embalming process took 40 days, and John Phillips describes how it was done. First, the brain was drawn out of the skull through the nostrils. Then, through an incision made in the flank, the vital organs were extracted. The body was then cleansed with palm wine and purified with pounded incense. The hollowed-out body was filled with spices and perfumes, pure myrrh and cassia, and similar items, soaked in nitron for weeks on end. After the proper period of saturation, the corpse was washed and wrapped in strips of fine linen, smeared with gum the Egyptians used for glue. The embalming being thus completed, the corpse was placed in a wooden case, fashioned in human shape, and taken to the sepulcher. When the process was completed, the Egyptians mourned for 70 days. Put this in some historical perspective, the Egyptians mourned for their departed kings and pharaohs for 72 days, which is only two more than Jacob was mourned. When Aaron died, the children of Israel mourned for 30 days, and the same was true for Moses. So in just 17 years, Israel, Jacob, had made such a positive impact on the Egyptian world that the entire world mourned his loss. And Joseph requests permission to bury his father in verses 4 through 6. "And when the days of weeping for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Israel, saying, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, I am about to die. In my tomb that I hewed out for myself in the land of Canaan, there shall you bury me. Now, therefore, let me please go up and bury my father. Then I will return.' And Pharaoh answered, 'Go up and bury your father as he made you swear.'" At the time of Jacob's death, Joseph is about 56 years old. He was powerful, prosperous, loved, respected, but he was still submissive. He tactfully approached Pharaoh and requested that he be allowed to bury his father. promising in verse 5 that he would return. Jacob knew Joseph would keep his word, and so did Pharaoh. And then we see Joseph buries his father's body in Canaan. Look at verse 7. So Joseph went up to bury his father. With him went all of the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all of the household of Joseph, his brothers and his father's household. Only their children, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with them both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a very great and grievous lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians." Therefore the place was named Abel Mezarim. It is beyond the Jordan. Thus his sons did for him as he commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah to the east of Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. Joseph, Pharaoh's servants, the elders of Joseph's house, all the elders of the land of Egypt, plus all the brothers of Joseph, including their wives and children, except the little ones, plus a huge contingency of chariots and horsemen, all left Goshen, which is the northeast part of Egypt, to make a trip well over 200 miles to bury Jacob at the patriarchal burial plot located near Hebron. This incredible and impressive procession signaled that a very powerful, great, unique man of God had died. Look at verse 10. It's intriguing. When this processional approached the Jordan River, they had 7-day mourning period, realized they had arrived to the promised land. Verse 11 informs us that even the Canaanites realized the significance of all this and named the area where this occurs Abel Mezarim, which means the mourning of Egypt. Moses undoubtedly was trying to get a mumbling Israel to realize that this was real, literal promised land and the world knew it. And then Joseph returns to Egypt after burying his father. Look at verse 14. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. Joseph had left this land when he was 17, and now 39 years later he is able to go home, but not for long. There's no doubt from this statement that he knew that this was the promised land. It's possible for us to get so caught up with living in the wilderness of this world that we forget that this isn't our home, and Joseph never did.